Okay, yes. Student representative to the Board of Trustees.
Lindhurst High School has been easing back into the school year, and the parents, guardians, and friends of our students had a great time seeing the environment of the classroom and the campus during back-to-school night, which was on the 24th of August. Freshman campaigning begins this week, and the candidates will hold their speeches on Thursday, the 15th. Voting will take place the very next day. Club Rush will occur on the 21st and has been thoroughly organized with the President Council today. This year, Club Rush will be using movies to display clubs for students to explore their interests with the purpose of encouraging them to become more involved in school, academically and socially. The Duke's Golf Tournament is on the 24th, and our leadership class will volunteer the time to help. Following that on the 28th is Leonard's first blood drive of the year, and is coordinated by CSF. The month of October is very exciting, as Leonard's football homecoming will be themed Electronic Blazer Carnival. The ASB and leadership are working diligently to make everything perfect and fun. And then on to Marysville High School Board Report. For the month of August and the first 2 weeks of September in 2016, Marysville High School's ASB has put on the following events. On Friday, August 12th, ASB ran the first registration at Marysville High School. Students were able to pick up their schedules and take their pictures from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. On Tuesday, August 16th, through the 19th, Marysville High School's ASB put on the Welcome Week. The Welcome Week had a major role in including PBIS. This includes a lunchtime activity at lunch, rally signups, and Willy Wampum. The Welcome Rally was on the 19th. On Wednesday, August 24th, Marysville High School had back-to-school night at 5 p.m., and advertised was done by ASB. On Friday, September 2nd, Marysville High School's ASB put on a Pack the House for the first home football game. All students with an ID were only charged $2 in order to get as many students to go to the game. Also, on Friday, September 2nd, Marysville High School's ASB put on the Welcome Back Dance from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. On Tuesday, September 6th through the 9th, Marysville High School's ASB advertised the first dress-up week of the school year. Tuesday was a college day, Wednesday was workout day, Thursday was socks and sandals, and Friday was black and orange day. And that's all.
Thank you very much. There was an announcement. There was no action taken in closed session. Okay, that brings us to school reports. Lindhurst High School. Kathy, don't run away. The principal is here.
Good evening. What a year it's been. And what, we're in week three or week four? This is my 11th year at Lindhurst High School, and it's been an unprecedented start. And the start actually began probably this time last year when it came to looking at facilities needs and upgrades and things like that. And it was definitely a rough start. But where we're at now is it's hard to quantify into words. We've had some amazing changes that have been going on at Lindhurst High School, from the removal and replacement of all the concrete, replacing the gas lines, new landscaping throughout the campus. We've done a very concentrated effort over the last couple of years to really dig into our CTE, Career Tech Ed pathways, and develop a clear delineated path for those students. You know, we talk about college and career ready. High schools, for the most part, we think of college ready. You talk about AP classes, you talk about A through G requirements, but what gets lost sometimes, what has gotten lost within the state and within the nation, is what do you do for those kids that either by design, or by choice, or other circumstances that aren't going to go on the collegiate route? And what services are we offering them? That was actually something that our last WASC committee kind of pointed out to us and say, you know, you really need to look at that. And I'll show you what we've been doing since then. And obviously, we are in our accreditation year, our review year, which will happen in April. Talk a little bit more about that. Okay, there we go. Sorry. Out with the old. So the project, and if my numbers are wrong, I apologize, roughly they had removed and replaced about 57,000 square feet of concrete. I don't know how to put that into words. When you guys come out for the open house, I know a number of you have been out touring the campus. Until you see it, it's really hard to quantify. It's just an amazing thing. And to see when they came in June, right after school was out, they pretty much had that all ripped out in about 3 days. It was one of the most incredible displays of construction acrobatics I've ever seen. Trucks coming in, trucks going out, and it's just the process was just incredible. All the while, you've got different subcontractors there. They're putting in new gas lines for the entire school site, which includes new gas lines to increment 2 for the HVAC and a myriad of irrigation. They're doing this all at the same time when they're digging, and maybe some of the electrical lines aren't on any plans, maybe some water lines aren't on the plans. It was quite a show. Okay, I'm going to have to delete that button because I keep hitting it. That's a bad button. So the far left kind of gives you an idea of preparing the ground for the, you know, in this case for the new stage. You can kind of see it's raised towards the middle of the section there. We eliminated that center stage that we had, that octagon. We wanted to push it up against C building to get a larger stage. It's a little bit more effective. We can actually, you know, put events on up there. You could have a band up there, radio, things of that nature. The middle section, it's hard to see, but your handout, you can see it a little bit better. There's about 9,000 pounds of rebar in our site, and we had zero before then. I mean, that's why it was as bad a shape as it was. Everything pushed it up. Just incredible to see how that construction process works. And that last slide there is, you can see some of it's already finished concrete. The dark section is concrete that they just laid in the morning. They started every morning at about 4 a.m. And towards the end of the job, they were pouring and finishing about 7,000 square feet of concrete a day. Eight guys were doing this. It, again, was just an amazing orchestra. All the while, they have other contractors walking around and then school site personnel doing what we need to do. The end result, we've got new landscaping, probably close to 1,000 new plants and new trees. The trees, by the way, aren't these little saplings that are this big. They're real trees. It looks great. We've got our new stage set up there. You know, that is going to be a really nice cornerstone for the quad, you know, when we get everything up and running. On the far structure there, you can see the new shade structure that we have in place. And then the little red squares, in addition to all the other physical changes that we've done, is we've done a lot of changes within food service and how we're giving the food or handing the food out to the kids. That particular setup right there is what I like to call their Subway sandwich line. Students can actually have their own Subway sandwich made right there. And so food services put some canopies out there so the kids can stand under the shade. We've got another hot lunch line that they access from the outside of the quad. That'll be up and running, I think, in a couple of weeks. It's just, it really is a top to bottom, a complete transformation. I talked a little bit about college and career, the career site, our CTE classrooms. We've put a lot of energy into three areas, three distinct pathways that are becoming unique to Lyndhurst. The first one is our welding shop. We had 18 brand new welding booths built, not just purchased, but built, as well as the equipment provided for that. These 18 welding booths are industry standard. Students have an area to where they can cut, where they can weld. It's equipped with both a MIG welder, a TIG welder, and they can also do stick welding. By the time they finish this program, these students will have access to, worked with, and ideally be certified in various levels of welding. So those students that are looking to maybe go out into a manufacturing career, you're pretty much guaranteed to start off with about $40 to $50 an hour and easily up to $80. You know, hook up with Union 228, go through your apprenticeship program. These are jobs they can get in the area here. It's not something where you do this, and then if you go to San Francisco, you can get a job. Most of our students, they live and work and will work in our community. This is something that they can keep here. It should be up and running here shortly. The maintenance crew has been doing a phenomenal job getting this thing up and going. It's not a plug-and-play operation, and they've really outdone themselves with a number of these projects. Travis and I have been in very close communication for a long time. Production studio. We've come a long way from the days of your technology was just simply we're going to go through keyboarding. And you get the Mavis Beacon and the kids would learn how to type. That's when I first came onto the site, that was the media class. Now we have a new media production studio. It's in the final stages as well. Our instructor has developed a very good working relationship with KCRA Channel 3. He's taken his class and he's gone down a couple of times to kind of pick their brains a little bit and say, okay, how would we set a studio up like this? We took one of our classrooms in the maintenance department, literally from the floor up, has converted this out. We've got brand new carpeting. They've lined the walls out. We'll be able to have 4 media stations. If you go into a newsroom, if you've never been in one, for example, that right there, it will be a station, and when they do the pictures of it, it just looks like that's taking the whole studio up. But unbeknownst to the rest of the world, there's a station right there for the weather, completely separate, void in between. There's another station there. There's another station there. We'll have that completely set up. You'll notice on the right-hand side of the screen, that big kind of squarey-looking thing, it's a teleprompter. Our students from start to finish are learning how the production end, how the studio end works, how to read off a teleprompter, how to video mix, how to audio mix, gathering stories. We do produce Blazer Insider, which is our weekly news info that the students do. We live broadcast our graduations, and that's streaming live over the internet, so you can be anywhere in the world and watch that. Last year, we did a live broadcast of the game against Marysville. We hope to do that as well. And ultimately, the students will pretty much be filming most of the major events. Again, if they're interested in pursuing a career in this type of media, they will have had some hands-on experience of what it's actually going to be like, finding the stories, writing the stories, then actually the groundwork of creating the product itself. And there's our kitchen. Everybody hears about our kitchen. Looks pretty good, doesn't it? Back in the day. That's the before. Here's the after. It is a completely different experience. The entire kitchen is designed with industry standard food grade 304 stainless steel. I know more about stainless steel and culinary than I ever thought I would, and it's one of the most exciting things out there. It's just neat. We've got professional refrigeration systems, freezing systems. The cleaning, everything in that kitchen is as though if they were to go to a restaurant, that's exactly what they're going to see. They're going to be, and they're being trained by our, and they're being taught by our chef, who is a Yuba College, professor. He's worked in the industry for over 30 years. He knows what he's doing, and he handles, even though most of the classes are high school classes, he treats it just like the college class. These kids will be leaving with a food ready certificate, which is that fundamental step if they do want to work at a nicer restaurant, and those that want to possibly go even further onto maybe the Cordon Bleu or something like that, they've got some exposure. And it's that class is being met with resounding success. Can't say enough about that or any of the other classes. And then this is our WASC year. Our mid-year review is April 3rd and 4th of 2017. The committee, we don't know the full size of the committee. We do know that the chair. The chair is going to be Ted Barone. He was on the committee last year. There will probably be maybe one, possibly two more. It's not a full review, so therefore they don't have as many. And really what they're looking at is your four they gave us 4 areas to look at, and these are the areas, and how have you proceeded with that? Have you met your goals? Are you getting there? Where are you? Just to recap what those were, and I did condense them down a little bit, said to develop collaborative structures, rigorous instructional strategies, and then pathways. We've been doing a lot of collaborative work with the teachers from summer institutes. We're going to be instituting professional learning communities. The administration has gone through that training. We're now going to be sending some teachers to that training to continue those collaborative structures. We're getting into the classrooms, talking about different instructional strategies, as well as developing pathways, as clearly you've seen there. Kind of keeping in with that, making sure that the standards for California teaching profession are embedded within these lessons to modernize and make sure that our instructional lessons are rigorous to the standards in which they need to be held to. To develop an action plan that addresses the students for low academic achievement, poor community and self-image, and outdated instructional practices, which we do have a much more comprehensive action plan that we've been following over the last, developed and following over the last several years. And then the last one, you guys, if this one was all you, you hit this out of the park, and that's provide significant resources to repair continuing facility problems, you know, such as the broken HVAC system and buckling concrete. That would just check that one right off the box there. That's what's nice about having someone from the original committee come back, because those type of changes, any type of changes, whether it be physical or even within the classroom, they have that frame of reference. They can go, okay, I remember, and now look at. The students, for example, our freshmen, when they walked on this campus, most of them had no clue. To them, it was Lyndhurst High School. They had never been there before. They'd never been in the classrooms before. So to them, this was normal. To our sophomores, to our juniors, to our seniors, this was a whole different experience. And I told some of you, on the first day of school, I usually get there pretty early, and some of the students do too, and I don't know, it was 6:30 or so in the morning, and some kids were starting to come in, and what I noticed was interesting. I was in the quad just walking around, and the kids had their phones, and they were taking video of just the whole campus because they couldn't believe what they were seeing, and they were getting on the phone, and they were calling, and they were texting. It's just so amazing. Thank you for that level of support. You have always been supportive of Lyndhurst High School. You have helped tremendously. Thank you.
And now for the evaluation. Kathy, what did you think? How's it going this year? Okay. That's a positive evaluation.
I'll take it.
Yeah, good job.
And your administrative staff and all the teaching staff, because there's been a lot of hurdles that you guys have certainly overcome, and a lot of extra time and effort, and you can truly see the dedication that you all have to the Lyndhurst High School. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. This is not possible, the transformations we've gone through, without the administrative team that I have. Christine. Hi. And Chris, it's so well blended, and that blend really supports the teachers, because at the end of the day, you know, the teachers have to get the job done, and they need to be supported by the right team and in the right ways. So it's not top down, bottom up, it's just straight across the board. The dominoes just are going seamlessly. So thank both of you and the teaching staff. If I had a different staff, this would probably be a different presentation.
I tell you, I was out there a couple of days after they pulled that concrete up. I'd have bet money that it wouldn't have been done. Oh, my gosh. They have trenches 8 foot deep. You're just looking, going, look like a bomb went off here.
I would not have bet you, because I would have been on your side. There was a few times where I was.
Then you go back out a few weeks later, and it's just, oh, man, what a transformation.
Yep, what an experience.
You know, I've talked to a lot of the kids after it was done, and some of them have nicknamed it Newhurst now. They call it Newhurst instead of Lyndhurst. They're so proud. It's just, you've got such a good team out there, and I'm very proud to see where you've gone. And what sticks in my mind when we hired Ryan, he said, if you want our principals to be successful, you got to give them the tools. And that's always stuck in my mind. For the success at Lyndhurst, we had to give you the tools, and the fact that people worked as a, a team, it's really obvious. And I know your administration staff very well. You've got a real team out there. In fact, I got to visit with them at the last football game on Friday night. Even though you lost, it was against Colusa, one of the district I worked in briefly, and one of the kids came up and said, "You remember me?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You were my junior high principal." And he said, "Now I'm on the board." And I said, "Well, your dad was on the board who hired me." And he said, "That's right. I followed in his footsteps." But it was just, it's a difference out there. I could see the pride in the kids, and that's what we want. It's about the kids and the pride. And it takes a team. It takes a whole team to work together. And I saw that with the maintenance, the facilities. They came together as a team. When something was broken, they jumped in there and fixed it up. It was just a paradigm shift with what's going on from what we had a couple years ago.
Agreed.
But you're doing a great job out there, and I'm glad that we were able to provide that for you.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the list is facilities update.
All right. Thank you, board members. I'd like to thank Mr. Eckhart for providing our facilities update tonight. And with that, we'll try to update you on the other projects besides Lynnhurst. We do have a school district with many other schools. Per typical, we're going to go through the different funding sources and give you updates on the project that fell within them. The next time we provide a quarterly update, we're going to do it a little different format, more aligning it to our facility master plan. But we'll give you an update. Obviously, there was a lot being done this summer in both the facilities department as well as maintenance and operations. And so we wanted to get the schools ready for our students. Still a lot to be done, but we definitely were pleased with what got done. General fund, just kind of giving you the different sources of funding you could see. We pretty much allotted all that money. It's either expended or allocated down the line through the bond, which not much remaining. Still routine restricted maintenance. There's some remaining, but a lot of that has to do with filling out the year with all the projects that get done. Emergency repairs, small amount that we could use. Deferred maintenance, we have a little over $1.18 million. Again, we throw the $820 in there at the beginning of the year. Prop 39, we're working through the funding as facilities completes the reports and applies for the funding. So with that, I'll turn it over to Cynthia, and she'll go through her facilities projects. Mr. Barnett will go through his maintenance and operation projects, and then we'll summarize at the end.
Good evening. As always, it's a pleasure to be here tonight with our quarterly update, starting with Increment 1. I think the thing to take note of is we have been approved for almost $900,000 in state match money for the Office of Public School Construction through the State Allocations Board. I completed the required form a couple of weeks ago, and that money should be in the bank, so to speak, within a week or so. And then these amounts will be updated until we're through the release of retention and all the costs related to the project. But we're in closeout, we're gathering as-builts, O&Ms, warranties, and that sort of thing at this time. Increment 2, important to take note, we're going to kick off tomorrow at Lynnhurst itself. We'll actually do the document exchange, and there's hundreds of documents that I keep track of, and so we'll do that at that time, along with a walk of the site and other coordination issues like the closure of the gym for the abatement work that needs to take place there. And Verco is a low bidder. That amount there is the hard cost only, excludes soft cost, but we'll update along the way. I think it's important to note also we will be doing a commissioning study. Sorry.
Hard costs and soft costs. What's soft cost?
Soft costs are things like architects, engineering fees, testing, special inspections, Mid-Pacific, for example.
Does that soft cost?
Yes.
What's hard cost?
The construction cost.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Originally, we talked about commissioning, and you see that it's noted here in the third paragraph of the slide that it includes G. After talking through this in more detail, it's a process like everything we do is. G will be excluded from the commissioning report, but the commissioning will basically be an on-site field verification of the current systems as they are, and it will help improve the ultimate design for future increments for the A building and the E building. And the E building really has a lot of ductwork that's very complicated. It's up in the crawl space, and it's also like an octopus if you've seen the C building enclosures, which for me isn't like the best in product for maintenance to inherit. So that's what the commissioning will be all about. And that will come before the board as a separate item. Here's a fee so far. Not much yet, except the architect fees basically for design, because we've just barely gotten started with the actual kickoff process. Here's some of the areas we'll be trying to gain access to get to the crawl spaces to remove the existing units. So you can see it's a challenge. In the left slide up in the top left corner is where you gain access. It's through a small hatch. And then, you know, there's never enough storage, so we'll hopefully be relocating some of these items so that the contractor can do quicker, more efficient work. This is the metal shop. This is what's existing. We have a mezzanine, which has a lot of the old components, and they're original to the site. They will be replaced. Increment 3 could turn into additional increments. I think it's important to note that, but it's all based on funding and the availability of funding into the future. Again, with that state match money for increment 1 in hand shortly, and I started the process of getting the state funding for increment 2 for a 60% match for at least the gym building. We have poor air quality and failing systems, so we could get it up to a 60% match for that portion of increment 2. Bob did a really good job on the quad project update, so I'll just sort of leave that one go. Here's the cost to date as of August 31st. Just a few pictures of the before and after. Some photos along the way of the gas line tie-ins and pressure testing that took place for both gas lines and the irrigation. And I'd like to give a shout out to the maintenance team for their support. You know, through this process, we did find a lot of Shell utilities. And Eric Renard, for example, was really instrumental in helping us determine whether they were still needed or not. And if not, we went ahead and removed those. And they were right under the subgrade. So those were things you wouldn't expect to encounter. So along with that, Jack Campbell was a really good project inspector. I think with him as sort of my sidekick, so to speak, and with the variety of projects and being alone in my department, I really couldn't have done it without that support. And Bob's been really patient, and I've tried to keep him posted throughout this entire process, maybe to a fault, but I think sharing the details as we go is really important so that there aren't, you know, any misunderstandings, or we could schedule things so it wouldn't impact them even further. A few more pictures. Bob did a great job already. The light poles are in. They need to be programmed, and they need controls, so that will be something that take place. We also have a pretty decent punch list. There will be some concrete panels that will be removed and replaced due to some cracking. We don't want to do that at this time, but it is on the punch list. Retention doesn't get released until that is complete. We also have an ongoing warranty period with Burco for the replacement of any additional panels that crack even further over the next several years. That's something we watch closely. And we also have a 90-day warranty period for all the plants that were planted. We have had some plants that have already failed. As we get closer to the end of that 90-day period, those plants will be replaced, any that have failed. I think important to note, maybe just quickly, we have also automated the irrigation in the entire interior of the quad area. It was all manual before. And a couple of the redwood trees aren't real happy off the back face of the C building, but we're watching those. They need about 30 gallons of water per day per tree to keep them healthy, which is in excess of current water restrictions. So they will be replaced if they fail, but we'll wait and see. The grease interceptor was replaced. It was a 1976 original. It was not done when the kitchen was modernized in 08-09. So we went ahead and did that since we had the ground opened up. the shade canopy. We haven't had the billing come in. It's underway. It will be finalized pretty quick. This was a pretty quick project. Here's your during and after photo. Our Boga Legacy closeout turned into a little bit more. We did install a very large play apparatus with school site funds. We will have proper closeout with DSA, so we won't get the future threats that they're going to shut those classrooms down. It looks really nice. You can see there was a lot of work. We did have some damages that have, by and large, mostly been completed by United Building Contractors. That last little bit is sometimes the hardest to get. Completing all the punch list items, it takes a tremendous amount of time and effort on my part to follow through to get what we can get from the contractor per the design and specifications. But that last bit, a little bit, takes a whole lot of effort. You see the beautiful play apparatus, some new benches, new concrete panels for the benches so the kids aren't sitting in the mud. We got rid of the seams, brand new carpet, new gates and hardware, new walkways, ADA compliance, some new paint. And I'll turn it over to Travis.
Good evening. All right, so here you're looking at the, I'm going to kind of go through these, so at the end if you have any questions, I'm going to keep things kind of rolling. You've got our Oliver's landscaping project, as many of you are aware, out front. Looked like a desert for the longest time. We've got that hydro-seeded, irrigated. We also added a French drain because of the slope. I know out there in front of the Herschel Todd building, it ended up being a lake is what I've been told. So maintenance went ahead on top of this project and added in a French drain out there, so we're going to see how that works this winter. So. Johnson Park landscaping project, same thing, hydro-seeded, added irrigation. These are projects we all did through maintenance and operations. Came out great. Still kind of finishing up on some touches at Johnson Park. There's some bald areas that need to be hit with hydro-seed and things like that. So still not 100% out there, but we're working on getting that dialed. But looks wonderful. Cynthia.
Okay, on to MCA portable project. We're largely done. We're in closeout. We're hydro seeding tomorrow. Besides that, I have retention held so I can get my last few items complete. This is where we're at to date. Here's some before and after pictures. I will be bringing a little bit of ad between 100 and change to 200 and change for the inspector agreement for Arboga and Charter. We had a few unknowns, and it's just a couple hundred dollars for each project for a few additional hours for some unforeseen, such as the fire alarm testing. The batteries were dead. You have to be in battery backup mode to test the fire alarms as required. The batteries were dead, so we couldn't test the system, so it required a second, a rescheduled test of that fire system. At Arboga, we had some overhang issues that I needed the inspector to check out. It took two trips. And so that is largely the reason for those couple hundred dollars increase. But I'll be bringing that next board meeting. Kitchen, it was pretty simple. Under Prop 39, I'm limited to what I can do with the funds. Prop 39 is strictly for rooftop package units, controls, lighting, those sorts of things. It doesn't typically let you include replacing ductwork. So just want to make that clear. So the kitchen will require some additional modernization. It hasn't really been touched in quite some time. So I just want to make note of that. Here's some pictures during. This is American Mechanical Systems from Utah City. He was a great guy, easy to work with. He came back when I needed him multiple times. He did a little extra work for us out of the goodness of his heart. And then on to maintenance operations projects.
Okay, this is where I get really excited about all the stuff we've done, so I'll try to go as quick as I can on this. So, Foothill landscaping and irrigation improvements. As many know, that field out there had a lot of ruts. They were using quick couplers, things like that, to irrigate. Really hard to keep that looking nice. So we've went ahead and added the whole entire thing is automated now. We're hooked to, it's not BVID. Yeah, it's BVID up there. But we've also got switches to go to well. So if, when they shut it down, we're able to still irrigate out there. So that's all hydro-seeded right now. Looks wonderful. Everything's fully functioning and operational right now. So, again, really excited we did that in-house with our grounds department. Lyndhurst High School metal shop, weld booths, as Bob and his staff have been great to work with. It's kind of been a Hail Mary to get this thing going, but tomorrow everything should be fully operational by the end of the day. So we're excited about that. We had a couple hiccups going in there with electrical and HVAC and having to get some custom fabrication done to finish that project, but it's underway. Media classroom, that's another huge undertaking for the maintenance and operations department. That used to be a science classroom, so there was plumbing, gas lines, HVAC, lighting, coming up through the floor, coming out of the ceiling for eyewash stations. This was a really big undertaking. As you can see, they completely furred in a wall, put in a door, I mean, completely made an entire cutoff studio for them. So that came out extraordinary. We've all seen the Lyndhurst Culinary Classroom remodel. Again, that came out wonderful. We have a great staff that support us for the whole entire ordeal. It wasn't just myself overseeing this project. There was many hands in that and a lot of support from Lyndhurst High School. And Bob did a wonderful job with design. I mean, those are all his pretty touches, as he would say. So he had the vision, and we made sure that it happened, but really impressive. We installed 5 new drinking fountains all over Lyndhurst High School. I don't know if you guys were out there. You noticed they used to have these cement canister-looking things out there that were made out of look like old culvert pipe that just drained onto the ground. So we've plumbed these into the actual sewer system, and now they have fresh water. It's phenomenal. Looks great out there now. We put these in 5 different locations. We finished the roof repair in the main office out there after we had it abated. That's all taken care of. There's your before and after, kind of scary, but everything's retested and we're clear. So if anybody wants to know if we have clearance, we're clear out there. Sorry, I didn't see that. There you go, before and after. Put our finishing touches on it. I'm going to wait a minute. Sorry about that. Marysville, out here, high school stadium lights, as many have been saying, I guess the lights and ballasts have burned out for many a years out there. We've went ahead this last past couple weeks. Ken Tarr and Matt Hall, we rented a 120-foot boom lift. We did a fall protection plan, fall restraints, did everything OSHA standard and said, you guys ready to get up on that lift? And they did, so they did a phenomenal job. We replaced quite a few bulbs, a lot of ballasts. We found a lot of rotted wire in there that they pulled new wire. Exponential savings by doing that in-house, and I think the guys, because I definitely am not going to push somebody that doesn't feel comfortable getting 100 feet up in these boom lifts, because they definitely bounce up and down. So Kynoch replaced I think we've replaced almost 15 faucets out there. So we're going through, since the support of the board, we brought on a new plumber. He's been going to town out there getting these new plumbing fixtures with toilets and faucets and drinking fountains. Cedar Lane installed shoreline power. We got that all taken care of for the Toothmobile, so they're happy customers out there. Kovalod, MP room building, painting. The interior, you guys will recall, last year we had that huge roof leak. We resealed it. We had the contract out there. After that roof leak had been leaking for 6 years and was neglected, we had a lot of water damage in the interior. That we had a lot of separating of the sheetrock. Just stained light fixtures. We went in there this summer and we did our best to repatch and paint and retest it out there to make sure everything, the air quality was great. So that came out. I'm happy with it to where it's at, you know, besides ripping every bit of sheetrock out of there, but it's definitely not an eyesore when you walk in anymore. Main MP room building, replaced, repair the sheetrock, same thing. We replaced all the water stain, repainted, taped, textured, all the areas that have been discolored and were sagging. Did a lot of sheetrock screws to make sure there's no more sagging in that building. This was the infamous Olivehurst door that maintenance went ahead and cut in. They did, again, that's phenomenal. If you went out there, you would think that that was a full-blown contractor that went out and took care of that. But that was, again, in-house. They did that project start to finish, hanging the door frame. Came out wonderful. The site's very happy about that. You guys have probably heard about the gates out here. That was another project we took on. maintenance. Matt Hall actually fabricated and built that gate in our shop from scratch. So phenomenal job again. You'll see the cost avoided on a lot of these projects that we did in-house this summer. The district office window replacement, that's scheduled coming up here in October. So we have had window leaks, I guess, for many years over here in the district office, and it comes through the second story all the way down to the bottom floor in the break room, and that's finally going to be taken care of here in October. So we'll have more after pictures of that. We did 9 HVAC unit replacements district-wide this summer at a huge cost savings. Again, our guys in-house were using heavy equipment to get these things on the roof versus contracting out through vendors using cranes and everything like that. So again, we have our as we've built our staff over this last year, we're able to take on more of these projects. District-wide painting projects, we did over 60 interior and exterior areas just in the summertime. You can see we're trying to give a little pizzazz to Lyndhurst now. We put a little red border on the outside on the gutters to kind of make it pop instead of being one monotone color. So we're going to continue that to try to get these color schemes going and brighten that side up. Like I said, we brought on more staff, so we're able to take on more plumbing projects. This is water lines and sewer lines that we've been replacing and repairing as we've been going along. Instead of just putting saddles on them, we're actually pulling up sections of pipe now and replacing those sections of pipe versus putting Band-Aids on them, so to speak. We tried to get as much of the fire lanes painted this summer as we could. They needed a little freshen up around the district. Still replacing a lot of siding out there, ongoing. We did a huge maintenance yard cleanup. It was about 20 years overdue. We had stuff that was sitting out there from 35 to 40 years ago, just piled up. We went through and completely revamped, and literally that's what the shop looked like for the longest time, where it wasn't being utilized, the space wasn't being utilized, and it was not really a functioning area. So we did a lot of cleanup this summer. Again, you'll see on this list a lot of imminent improvements, cost-saving measures. It's just been a really phenomenal summer. I mean, you've got to remember within these projects, we're also taking on preventative maintenance measures. These are just some of the major projects we did this summer. So that's kind of what I got in a nutshell. All right, thank you.
Okay, I'll be quick on this last little bit. I'm happy to report that I finished the first year of the annual reporting as of this afternoon. Yay. It was a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. I did get a new draft audit report for some energy efficiency measures for 3 more schools, including Yuba Gardens, McKinney, and Olivehurst. And I will be updating those and inserting those into the state system so we can have that money flow into the district for additional improvements while we continue to wrap up all of those that we already have approved and funded. Charter, you've seen this slide. I won't go into detail. I've done everything for that site except one item, which is a mini split for the front office IT closet. And I have a proposal underway for that. And so I've requested yet another audit for Charter so we can spend the rest of those dollars. It's hard to spend that money. They get a proportionately larger share than the district does. But we've done a lot so far. Here's an example of a couple units replaced. We have a couple more to go in. MNO decided they could squeeze that into the schedule sometime soon. If not, we have plenty of money. We can go ahead and pay someone to install it. We've done the LED lights, some programmable thermostats. They're all set to our standard set points. This has been a work in progress to get our cooling and heating standards updated without an actual full-time energy manager. We had decided originally to maybe let site secretaries do some programming, but we've sort of rethought that, and we've then gone ahead and had maintenance and or myself partially still in the works as to who's doing exactly what. But it is more internalized to the business services staff. These are all internet-based, designed to make the lives of the 2 HVAC technicians far more easy. They can program these stats from anywhere if they have an internet connection or from their office. Here's an example of some of the internet-based thermostats we have or will be installing. We did a lot this summer. You can see kind of the estimate for the remaining schools. The Foothill schools, we need to make sure we have a strong internet connection, because if we don't, it will necessitate the techs running out to those sites to program or reprogram those thermostats. Here's an example of the software that goes with those internet-based stats. You can do it room by room. You can check the set points, the current temperatures, schedule it on or off. It has a one-hour override. Linda HVAC, this is part of Prop 39. This is where we're at in terms of the funding to date as of the 31st of August. Here's some of the units that got replaced. You could see that they were, you know, 20 years or older, and they're brand new now, with internet-based thermostats as well. We had a couple programming issues, but we worked that out very quickly, and they're now up and operational and comfortable. And we have 9 new LED parking lot lighting heads there as well. Lyndhurst will get a lot more through Prop 39. They were one of the first three schools to get an energy audit and energy efficiency measures approved and funded for the state, along with Marysville High School. You can see those components right here. Those are underway. I have several proposals already in hand, some of which will need to be formally bid or, you know, through CAPCA at least. So, for example, we'll focus on the rooftop package units. I can replace 15 5-ton rooftop package units, and I can also replace, it says 3 3-ton bars, but I actually can do 5. And so that'll be, I think, more of the focus since those units are 20 or more years old and well past their useful life. Here's some of the units that will be replaced shortly. Energy management, this is an ongoing effort. We input a lot of data every single month. We have 600 energy bills, and there's at least 5 entries per bill to enter into the database. We just got the bills for August, so we'll be entering those. My part-time clerk is back, so I hope to have her focus on that over the next week or so. And with that, I can do the customized reports that we distributed earlier this summer to each individual school site so they can track their progress in terms of savings and kilowatts and kilowatt hours and whatnot. And I'll turn it over to Ryan.
Okay. And again, the board approved a facilities master plan at the end of June, and we'll be incorporating those elements into the next presentation. You can see an example of how we've extended that project list, and we'll update it with information to provide more information to the board to make decisions, because at the November meeting, we'll be looking for some input. When we present our audited actuals later tonight, there's some one-time money possibly we could use for facilities, so we will look to the board for their direction. With that, I'll open it up to any questions, and thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question for Travis. I noticed on there was a lot of savings. Could you estimate just a ballpark what you think you save by doing the projects in-house instead of farming them out as was done before you came?
You know, I know we were trying to do rough approximate numbers just for summertime,
right,
and we were close to about $800,000 just this summer. And I think within about a year and a half, we're probably pushing over 1.5 mm-hmm. easily, and that's an approximate conservative number. And that would be a cost avoided, not really savings, mm-hmm. because we use the cost avoided. We're just able to do more with that money and stretch it across the entire district. Mm-hmm.
I notice that some people think that we focus on the valley. What are some future projects you have for the foothills from Cordova above?
Yeah, currently we're focusing on foothill. We're trying to spend some time out there. We've got, like I said, we've got the automation of the field out there. We are getting estimates to get the playground re-slurry sealed, possibly chip and seal, rolled out there, repainting the basketball lines. We've also already ordered the new black cyclone fencing up there behind where the irrigation is, where last year when I first started, if you guys recall, we built that retaining wall in the back up there and re-asphalted going up the hill there. So now we've ordered some riprap behind that retaining wall that we put out there to make it beautify. It's a blue rock. So when you come and you look at the playground, you can see blue rock and then that black cyclone fencing up there so the balls don't roll off that retaining wall. We're taking that cyclone fence all the way down the back. Yeah. We're also removing some of the playground equipment and relocating it to a better location. Also with the facilities project last year in the middle of the playground where they put the manhole covers for the new septic system, there's kind of dirt out there. We're going to go ahead and we're building a almost like a planter box around that, and we're going to be filling it with bark. That way we can still access it for maintenance reasons. But we're just going to continue to work on these foothill systems up there, hopefully get them all automated, and really just kind of keep rolling with that.
I think it's also important to remember,
Mr. Fleury, that we did add a new classroom building for Foothill. Not Foothill, excuse me, Yuba Feather.
Right, Yuba Feather.
A new classroom building for Browns Valley. We did a new office, library, staff room for Dobbins, along with a gym, multipurpose room, cafeteria. So they've had a lot of projects, nothing in the last probably year, but they had some significant dollars that were brought up to them. Cordova had just the retaining wall done out in front of the school with the gate, but certainly they've had some attention. They haven't gone lacking.
You know, since I've been with this district more than 50 years, I've never seen a summer with so much work going on. And I go back before we unified. It's amazing what was done, and it would not have been possible unless everybody worked together as a team. I remember we had the maintenance, and then we had the grounds, and I remember when Scott used to say, you know, we could put this together. It would work with this one doing the other. They used to say, well, that's not mine, that's maintenance. And that paradigm has shifted, and your maintenance department and the grounds have really, it's a major shift in this district.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, can I make one quick comment? Travis, thanks for all the hard work this summer. Cynthia, thank you very much. Ryan, thanks for keeping the ball rolling. You've done a great job. This district kind of started 7-8 years ago, maybe, I don't know, 9 years ago, doing projects, and you guys have, you know, gathered up that ball, kept it rolling, and actually have added more velocity to what we're doing. I mean, places look great. It's wonderful. Going back to the foothills, there has been a lot of work done on those schools. If we remember back, we were looking at possibly replacing Foothill School. We couldn't come up with a suitable site. We had naturally occurring asbestos issues, and that was some of the problems. We didn't want to throw money at Foothill if we were going to do a new school, but thank you for giving it the attention now, because we've hit a major hurdle in finding a good site for that school. So that school is starting to look nice, and you're catching it up to what we had done in the past. So thank you very much.
Okay. Comments from board members. Mr. Crawford?
Yesterday, I was up on a levee, ran into Eric Vodden, used to be the editor of the paper, just retired. And we were joking, right? He said, what do you do for exercise? I said, get it in before 8 o'clock or you'll die up here. But he paid transportation and teachers and most of all the staff and everyone involved with it, that he reflected on what was going on across the bridge and what is going on here. And he never would have thought for a moment that it would be reversed like that. He commended us for us. Compliments we were receiving from the parents and the lunches and the breakfasts. Kids getting to school on time, the bus drivers all being courteous, everybody obeying the rules. Things are on an upbeat in Marysville, and it was just nice to hear from a guy that I'm not one sure if he even liked me, but he paid some real nice compliments, and
I
wanted to share them with you.
He's lying.
Mr. Danimal?
You know, I have to say, Travis, Cynthia, Ryan, fabulous job on our properties. They are certainly an asset to the city. Plus, I know Amber isn't here, but it's really great walking around saying that all our students, can eat for free daily. I think that's wonderful. As I see the district maturing in my 4 years that I've been here, it's been a wonderful transformation. I thank you all.
Hey, Mr. Boom? Mr. Rasmussen? Mr. Fleury?
Well, this last week I finished my peace job, so I started visiting the schools, and I went in the Oliverst area, and I wanted to meet with the new principals And we have an amazing administrative staff. I met with the one at Olive First, at New at Johnson Park, Mrs. Huerta at Kynock, and I realized our hiring panel has done a great job. Those that have gone above and beyond that I noticed when I went around, number one was the health fair. The district office, and I understand Lynette was the lead person, and with Jennifer and with Ryan, they did an amazing health fair, and it takes a lot of extra time on your own time to do that, and it was very beneficial for the employees. Also at Kynock, they had a grandparents' day and a reading day, and it was put on by Jean Youngren. They put a lot of her extra time in to do that, and this is the kind of things that make us a great district. And then Glenn can talk about Grandparents' Day at Covalon.
Mr. Harris?
As Jim was saying, Grandparents' Day at Covalon last Friday. It was just amazing to see all the grandparents, parents, you know, the people that take care of these little children that come to our schools. It was crowded. There was, I'd say there were probably over 300 adults there that were, you know, participating, and, you know, above and beyond doesn't say it for our staff. Above and beyond does not say it. We have, from top to bottom and bottom to top, we have great staff that work for this district, and personally, I'm very proud to be here.
I will say, I want to make some comments. As I go to the schools, I was at Covalon when they did their back-to-school night, which Ringling Brothers couldn't have done a better show, I think, than their staff and the different things. You can just see the pride throughout our district. And when you do a great job, it's so nice to see that pride and seeing it completed. The health fair, was wonderful, too. And a lot of people learned a lot of different possibilities of what to do for finances and how to take care of yourself. Yeah. There's more gyms here than I ever dreamed in the Yuba Center area. It's great to see the district moving along as it is. I have no public, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Hi. I just was kind of surprised I didn't hear one person talk about Yuba City. but I wanted to just take a moment to point out some things that are the same and some things that are different between that side of the river and this. On the same side, there's a teacher shortage. We're competing with other districts. Both sides are paid under the state average. We're both implementing Common Core. We both are in the same Region 11 for CVT health insurance, so our insurance went up together. Compared to when I first started teaching, which wasn't that long ago, we're learning different ways to practice lockdowns for threats that we didn't seem to have before. And we both have Kim Bogart, the attorney that that works for the district side in negotiations. What I see that's very different, all of you, compared to their equivalent over there, Nancy and company, compared to Gay and her team, me and my bargaining team. And I think that one of the most important things that we can do is to remember our relationships that we've built, how we work professionally together. If somebody wants to take me out for a drink, I'll tell you what I think about next door. No, I don't drink, sorry. I think we need to build on our relationships. Remember that we're going to be doing this every year, every other year, depending on the contract. But we are working together every year. We're all working because we care about kids. We want to make our district great for kids. I went to the Feather River Service Center general meeting dinner thing last night. And the staff people, that's where CTA and then the presidents from all the different locals in the Yuba, Sutter, Colusa, Nevada City area come all together. And people kept talking about, this is the first time that our staff has worked a strike, that this region has worked a strike. And I kept thinking, that's not the feather I want in my cap. I want the, we've never gone on strike. We've managed to work things out. The one thing I can think of right at this moment that I would really like us to consider, the one thing that's the same between the two districts that you guys will have control over, don't let Kim Bogard drag us down. Because we're better than that. Thanks.
Thank you. Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3, California School Employees Association 326 and 648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit. Before I go on to the next item, I want to thank Angela, Bob, and David for being here tonight. Okay, to see what's going on and give their contributions. I have no public comment cards, and that means that we're ready for the superintendent's report.
I'd like to thank Mr. Rex for giving part of my report. I'd like to formally welcome Angela Huerta from Kynock Elementary School, Bob Eckard, you've seen here a few times before, principal at Lyndhurst High School, and David Gray, who is our new principal at Community Day School and is over the independent study program. Yes, thrilled to have them here. They're an essential part of the running of our district, and they are now coming for the next 2 months to cabinet every week. And they will be sitting here at this table across from the board from today through October 11th, at which time I will switch it out with three new principals so that throughout the year you'll get to see all of the principals that I and directors that I am formally evaluating this year. So it gives them a chance to kind of see the inner workings of what goes on in cabinet and then also to be a part of the board meeting so they can share any insights they might have as well. So thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it. A lot has been said about Lyndhurst High School, and I must tell you that being on campus, there is a definite change in the weather. I mean, the atmosphere there is almost electric. You just feel the positive that's going around between students and staff, administration. It's really something to behold. And I must tell you, when Bob was showing me the new culinary kitchen, when he turned the lights on, it literally took my breath away. It was just such a stark change from what we've seen there. I love the old 1970s kitchen there. Recognize those colors. Only thing missing was the avocado refrigerator. Now I'm showing my age. And Cynthia, thank you for giving me a new term for when my plants die. They failed. So it takes that off of me and back on those plants where it belongs. But, you know, it has been a major transformation in our district as far as facilities, what has gone on as far as getting things up to today's codes and just the feel of it. The fact that maintenance and operations now is working on bringing a lot of our projects to fruition that we've had waiting and kind of simmering on the back stove for a very long time. Of course, transportation, I have to say, you know, Scott, thank you for getting those kids to and from school every day and making those special bus routes. When I say, but wait, there are parents who say, why can't you? And he seems to pull that rabbit out of the hat every single time. And of course, you have to thank the staff at the district office. And I know no one wants to think that anything goes on here, but we've been working all summer long. And so when you see some of the folks sitting out in the audience, like Kathy Cartwright, who's made sure that everything we need as far as commodities, as, you know, paper, pencils, the warehouse, the print shop, all of those things, it just kind of goes on like clockwork, and not a lot is said, but it's amazing what goes on in all of the departments. So thank you for the hard work that they do. And they cram 10 hours, probably more like 12 hours of work, because we do 4-10s. It's just more fun when we're all working late together. So thank you for being here. And it does get lonely at the district office during the summer because everyone's gone. So I'm glad to have all the students and the staff back, and certainly appreciate all of the work that goes on behind the scenes and for those who do that work every day that don't get the praise they so aptly deserve. So thank you to all of you for that work. And that would be the end of my comments. Thank you.
Next is approval of minutes. If there's no additions or deletions from the for the minutes, the board will entertain a motion. Okay. Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Mr. Danable seconds the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? None. That brings us to the consent agenda. Would anybody like anything pulled from the consent agenda? Okay, reminder to the audience, the new people in the audience, we've all looked the consent agenda over prior to the meeting. Okay, if there's no additions or pulling of an item, comments, the board will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Mr. Harris moves to approve the consent agenda, seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None. That brings us to new business. New business, Board of Trustees, addendum to the employment contract with the Superintendent Gay Todd. Any comments?
To approve.
Mr. Harris moves to approve.
Second.
Mr. Danable seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Does it need to be roll call?
Okay, roll call vote. Mr. Boom? Mr. Rasmussen?
No.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes.
Mr. Harris? Mr. Crawford?
No.
And Mr. Danable?
Yes.
And I'm yes. Okay, the motion passed. Item two, addendum to the employment contract with Assistant Superintendent of Personnel Services, Ramiro Carrion.
I'll make the motion.
Any comments? Okay, the board will entertain a motion. Mr. Denimel moves to approve. Okay, seconded by Mr. Fleury. Roll call vote will be taken. We'll start on this end. Mr. Crawford?
No.
Mr. Denimel?
Yes.
Mr. Boom? Okay, Mr. Rasmussen?
No.
Okay, Mr. Fleury?
Yes.
Mr. Harris? Yes. And I'm yes, so that makes it a 5-2 vote. Okay, with Mr. Rasmussen and Mr. Crawford dissenting. Okay, educational services number one, availability of textbooks and instructional materials. This is something we do every year, evidently. Any comments? Oh, I'm sorry. And I marked that, too. Public hearing. We're opening a public hearing. So the hearing's now open.
No, we're just setting it.
Oh.
For the next meeting.
We're setting it for the next meeting. I'm sorry. Actually, that. I'd rather have it at the next meeting. Personnel services number one, agreements for MCAA consulting services. Any comments? Okay, the board will entertain a motion. Mr. Boone moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Rasmussen seconds the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, facilities and energy management, number one, bid award. Lyndhurst Air Conditioning, I think we should turn that one down. Increment two project, S-171. Any comments? Okay, if there's no other comments, the board will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Mr. Harris moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Rasmussen seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Well, we weren't going to tear down your air conditioning unit. Any nays? None. All right. Business services number one, unaudited actuals financial report. Ryan.
Good evening again, board members. I'll try to go through this rather quickly, but please stop me at any time. Here's our normal budget cycle. As you can tell, we're just into September, closing out the past year, but we're a couple months, about 2.5 months into the new budget for 16-17. And again, kind of looking at it as a living document because budget always changes. We're closing out the 15-16 budget, yet we're already into the 16-17 budget. Kind of looking at how we closed out the year, you can see there were some changes from estimated actuals, and I'll get into the specifics. $5.7 million on the unrestricted side. However, there's reasons for a lot of it. The variances on the revenue. Revenue ended up coming about $0.7 million more than what we anticipated. There was a big adjustment for LCFF in June. Again, we don't know the final LCFF numbers for that year until that very final month. So it was a positive variance, so we're excited about that. Kind of getting into the variances on the expenditures, just to kind of highlight some points. Some were because kind of was a null and void, I think, on the salaries and benefits, and it's just kind of the minutia of things. But books and supplies ended up being lower because, again, a lot of carryover goes there, and some of the services as well. And a lot of the capital outlay is carryover because a lot of these facilities projects that we presented tonight started in the summer, but again, the year ended June 30th. So most of that work was actually done in July and August and so forth. Kind of highlighting the funds available for spending in 16-17, really just getting to the meat of the matter. A lot of the money that was not spent that ended up higher than estimated actuals had to do with carryover. Again, under LCFF, we have a lot of items or allocations that are made that traditionally used to be restricted in nature, but now they're not. We allow those carryovers, and they're available for the school sites to spend in the following years. Some of it has to do with projects. Again, $2.33 million of it was for those capital projects I just described. Some of it actually is budget savings. We had the increased revenue, again, almost $700,000, a great benefit and something we couldn't predict. There were some other budget savings, actual budget savings, where we budgeted a certain amount, we didn't expend them. The nature of budgeting, obviously, you're not going to necessarily spend every item, or sometimes you even overspend. We'd rather be on the positive there, and we had some from print shop, legal fees, audit fees, et cetera. And then some was significantly lower contribution to special ed, both in terms of excess costs with the county SELPA and with some of the non-public schools. You know, our hats off to special ed, reducing those costs by what we initially budgeted. The other two, we did have a budgeted surplus of $1.8 million. We knew that was there in estimated actual. So when you really look at it, of that total amount, you know, unrestricted, again, restricted is all carryover too, and can be repurposed in 16-17, you have about $3.3 million there that will be available. And then also looking at a kind of a historic sense, you could see obviously, the ending fund balance has jumped a lot, but again, it's changed a little bit under LCFF because we've been getting the one-time money, we've been expending it, and we've been carrying over a lot and eventually expending it. And there's a little bit of our ending fund balance history. Key to note, that line below is what's truly available. The top amount is the total ending fund balance, but the lower purple line is what's actually not either restricted or allocated for a purpose already, and it will be spent. So kind of looking at the impact on our working budget, only a couple months passed in the year, we went from a $5.8 million projected surplus to $5.7 million, but year is subject to a lot of change. Obviously, there's a lot of we anticipate there will be several changes throughout the year, as in any year, especially on the expenditure side. So kind of as I rush through that, here's really the gist of where we're at. There was a variance of $8 million total. $5.7 million of that was unrestricted. But again, most of that was carryover. The remaining budget savings was a true $1.5 million. Coupled with the budgeted surplus of $1.8 million, it's a total of $3.3 million. Once it falls, when you finish a year and it falls to the ending fund balance, that becomes one-time money. The recurring or ongoing surplus is already rolled into the budget. That's the working budget. We have $5.7 million surplus. That's what's ongoing. The one-time money, we recommend spending on one-time items. We have, for example, transportation has five pre-1996 buses that need replacements. They cost about $164,000 apiece. We can apply on one of them, and Mr. Lane will, for the Feather River AQMD to try to get some partial funding. That one may end up costing only $40,000, but we definitely need to replace those buses. We have capital facility projects. We've seen the transformation that's happened at Lyndhurst. We have other schools in this district. We have other needs. We're going to be coming back to you in November. We obviously recommend that the majority of that money be allocated to facilities. I know we do have some deferred maintenance money, but it's not just repairing a roof here and there or replacing one HVAC. The ability with general fund money, like what we had in certain other past, you know, financings, allows us to do new construction as well or other projects. So for us, again, we have the ongoing money, and we believe that will be budgeted, and we'll budget those on ongoing things. It's about $5.7 million surplus right now. But that one-time money, you know, we like direction from the board in terms of how you would like us to spend it, and that's some of our recommendations. But we're open to suggestion. If there's any questions or anybody else or any other suggestions, you know, again, we'll try to take into account. This is just an overview of the budget calendar, very similar to last year. We'll be motoring through the year. Hopefully, you know, we'll be back with first interim in December to provide our results through October. And then in January, we already start preparing for 17-18. We start getting on the governor's budget proposal, start working with our LCAP committee. You know, obviously a couple board members participate in that, and we'll continue to move forward. The fall, again, we're just going to go out. We provide a handout to the board. Go to school sites, ask questions, provide budget information as well as LCAP information. So with that, now I'll open it up to questions about any specific details. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. I think right here. Okay. Okay. Business services number one.
Make a motion to approve.
Mr. Harris, please to approve. Rest for 2 seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. Unanimous. Item two, resolution 2016-1706, adoption of the 2016-17 GAN limit and 2015-16 recalculations.
It's required.
Yeah, it's required.
It doesn't really impact us on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. It's just a requirement to avoid overspending that happened legislatively many years ago.
Okay. Mr. Harris moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Crawford seconds. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? None? Unanimous. I know we'd all love to stay, but that concludes the business.